Hello, Grace family. I'm delighted to be able to share this Wednesday word of encouragement today. And as the impact of this pandemic lingers indefinitely, we are wrestling with a new normal now. We're constantly facing into the experience of being out of control and confronted with ambiguities and uncertainties at every turn. This impacts all of us so differently, but however you might be navigating these uncharted waters, I'm confident God is calling all of us, His children, to seek Him and find Him in the face of this crisis. And we want to do that in our Wednesday words of encouragement. And for the Wednesdays in August, we're looking at four rhetorical questions in Romans 8 that are part of a broader passage of Scripture that beautifully describes life in the Spirit and the privileges we have as children of God. But the backdrop of this chapter is suffering and persecution. Paul's acknowledging how we, and all of creation, groan as we wait for our full redemption. There is great struggle, but the intent of the chapter is to encourage the church, to provide hope. Paul is reminding us that God is for us, even when the things of the world are hard. And that's the question Dave addressed last week. If God is for us, who can be against us? And this week's verse reflects just how much God is for us. In Romans 8, verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" This is a verse about the abundant love and inexhaustible generosity of our God in the midst of all circumstances. To make his point, Paul begins with a definitive statement and then asks a rhetorical question based on that statement. First, he emphatically asserts that God doesn't withhold from his children. In fact, he gave his very own son for us. God willingly allowed Jesus to suffer and die for our sake. That's how massive his love is for us. He didn't keep even his treasured, beloved child from us. There's nothing ambiguous about it. Paul's describing how God loves us so deeply that he gave us the greatest, most valuable gift he could give, Jesus. So in light of that, Paul asks, will he not also, along with giving us Jesus, give us all things? Paul is basically saying, gosh, it would be so crazy for God to give us his son and then withhold other gifts from us, gifts that are of far lesser value. If he allowed his son to suffer a torturous death for our salvation, then surely he'll give us all things we need, because he's a generous God. But we have to ask the question, what does Paul mean by all things? The tendency of our heart may be to consider the things we feel like we're lacking and wonder why God has withheld them from us. God hasn't given us everything we've wanted, desired, or longed for. So then we wonder, is he truly a God who gives us all things? Or are we actually misunderstanding God's lavish generosity? All things is not an easy life of comfort. Paul himself, who's sharing these truths with us, was not safe from enemies and experienced awful suffering and persecution. The framework for his faith is hardship. And yet he unequivocally declares God's love and generosity as one who gives us all things. So we have to ask ourselves, does my understanding of all things match Paul's concept of all things? We may need to shift our paradigm a little bit. So let's look at two ways God graciously gives us all things. First, he provides for us all we could possibly need for a life of godliness. His primary concern is to develop in us the fruits of righteousness as we embrace the gift of his Son. He has promised to provide everything we need to grow in his grace and develop his character. The Lord wants to and will graciously give us all things necessary for a life of faith in him. He will never withhold what is good for us. That is, he will never withhold what will conform us to the image of his Son. Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly." The Lord's generosity is not for the sake of our comfort, but for the sake of our character. Some of the things we want are not good things. In fact, they may even be detrimental to God's good for us. But he will give us everything we need for life in Christ Jesus. This is a promise for every circumstance. And second, God will ultimately give us all things with the new heaven and new earth. A future grace awaits where we will be whole and complete, lacking nothing. Our experience of eternity will be without need. Paul is reminding us of the confident hope we have for an eternal inheritance that reflects the extravagant gift of God's Son and leads to the generous gift of all things. Paul, in this passage, in this verse, is reminding us of God's infinite love and limitless generosity in the midst of struggle. John Piper describes Romans 8:32 as the most precious verse in the Bible because the promise is so all-encompassing. It stands ready to help us at virtually every turn in life and ministry. There has never been and never will be a circumstance in our life when the promise is not relevant. As we continue to navigate all the ramifications of living in the COVID-19 world and the uncertain future therein, it's clear that people are feeling significantly depleted. I'm one of those. But God is reminding us that if He gave us Jesus, why wouldn't He also give us everything we need to abide in Him fully in the very midst of this pandemic? If you are struggling or suffering, God promises to give you all you need. And if anything else disappoints, fails, or gives way, this radical promise of God's gracious generosity can never fail. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You that we can come to You as a God who sees us and knows us and understands all that we need. We thank You that You sent Jesus, that You didn't spare Him, but You gave Him for our sake, that we might find salvation and redemption in You. And Father, we thank You that through that gift, You also have promised to graciously give us all that we need. We thank You that we have everything we need for today. Father, I pray that You would turn our hearts to recognize the lavishness of Your gifts for us. And Lord, we thank You for the hope that we have for the future, a hope that fills us that one day we will be in Your presence, we will be with You, and we will be complete and whole. We thank You for this future grace. And Lord, we ask that wherever our hearts are, whatever we're experiencing right now, that You would come meet us and fill us and give us hope and let us experience all things, all that You have for us. We pray this in Your name. Amen.